You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hi, this is Melody Hartzler, owner and CEO of Farm to Table, and you're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation, this is Todd Urey, founder of the Pharmacy Podcast. I've been looking forward to an episode about functional medicine because the best way I've learned about the pharmacy industry is interviewing people that know a lot more than I do. Functional medicine, and what is that approach? Functional medicine is a system biology-based approach that focuses on identifying and addressing the root cause of disease and each system or differential diagnosis that may be one of the many contributing to a specific individual's health. I understand comorbidity from being in the opioid addiction industry and in sector of healthcare. Was with New Season for nearly 3.5 years. And when we worked with a pharmacist who understood that a patient was suffering with OUD, there was always a comorbidity involved, whether that be another mental health issue, hypertension, diabetes. But nobody ever paid attention to the rest of the body of the patient specifically. So I'd like to welcome Melanie Hartzler to the show today. Melanie, I'm excited that you're here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So give us your definition, because I gave more of a scientific definition and kind of the textbook definition. But from your perspective, what is functional medicine?
So functional medicine, like the way I sum it up, is that it's the root cause medicine. So we're looking for what is the actual cause of your disease. And, you know, one of the biggest examples I give is like in irritable bowel syndrome. And so IBS generally is characterized by a myriad of symptoms, but often, you know, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, sometimes even some psychosomatic symptoms, anxiety and things like that. And so most of the medications, all but one of the medications on the market actually only treats the symptoms. And so it actually doesn't address even what's going on and causing those symptoms. And so that's where, you know, taking a functional medicine approach really digs deep into what's going on in the microbiome, if there's any inflammation, if there's any food intolerances, what the person's stress looks like, and really takes all of that into account, looks at their, you know, history and all the way back to were they breastfed, were they C-section baby, like all of those things make a difference in what our microbiome ends up looking like. And so really, you know, addressing the root cause of that and correcting the root cause as much as we can really go, you know, a long way for patients. And then we don't need pharmacological medications, you know, every month, like some of our, you know, other therapy options would be.
So I know that the pharmacy industry obviously have been in since 2004, and it's going through more changes today than ever before. Starting with the way that a pharmacist gets paid with PBM reform, the way that technology is being leveraged, the entrance of pharmacogenomics as a much more fluid way of seeing and tracking if a patient is absorbing the medication as planned, as designed. But when I think of what you're saying about functional medicine, what I've read about functional medicine, am I being biased because of being a fan of pharmacists that it's in the best hands of a pharmacist in combination with other things that you do as a pharmacist?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously there's definitely room for the other healthcare professionals to come to the table with this, but I think the missing piece of functional medicine as it is right now is having the pharmacist engaged in that. There's lots of practitioners, you know, going through Institute of Functional Medicine, School of Applied Functional Medicine, that and some of our pharmacists, a very small percentage are pharmacists, but the rest are, you know, MDs, DOs, CNPs, PAs, some of them even the naturopathic groups. And so all of those people are coming to the table, and there's really not, you know, a pharmacist at the table in those discussions. And I think, you know, when we have so much access to our patients, especially in community pharmacy, you're seeing the patients way more than the provider seeing the patients. And you really have, I mean, simple things like drug-induced nutrient depletions, you know, addressing some of these chronic things, you know, with some of our over-the-counter options, you know, talking about probiotics with antibiotics, like things like that, that, you know, we could be making a big impact and even preventing some of the, you know, further, you know, risk for some of these chronic disease or preventing C. diff, some things like that definitely are going to be in the hands of the pharmacist. Now, there are certain diagnostic pieces that really probably aren't our role and that we probably need to be working alongside our fellow primary care and internist type folks. But I think there's a lot that we can do alone as well.
So in my time in the pharmacy industry, really try to break down our podcast network into five sectors. As you had mentioned, community pharmacy is kind of the biggest sector of the five. But then we have senior care, long-term care, compounding, health system, and specialty. What your description of functional medicine is, every single one of those sectors, based on the fact that humans are being treated in each of the five, functional medicine belongs. But give us your kind of breakdown of where functional medicine would play a big impact, a big role. If someone listening is a consultant pharmacist, for example, our Senior Rx Radio is brought to us by ASCP, the American Society of Consultant Pharmacists, lots of long-term care pharmacists. So give us your kind of insights of where functional medicine could fit from the lowest hanging fruits, per se, of what we could see best impact.
My background is in primary care and family medicine, and so I certainly see it fit there because that's how I practice it. So I can describe a little bit first how I see it fitting with ambulatory care and primary care model, and then we can move over to some of the other areas. But I work in a physician's office. I'm employed by the physician, and we have a service that is myself and a nurse practitioner. Patients come in a couple of different ways to myself, to see face-to-face. So one way is that they saw the nurse practitioner first through our functional medicine program. The nurse practitioner ordered like a GI effects test, or which is a test that looks at a comprehensive look at the microbiome and the gut and inflammation and immune system things in the gut. And so the patient might come to me to follow up with that. And then we review the test results and we discuss the options for treatment. So similar, in the other models, a lot of times we throw out there, diagnostic clinician and then the treatment recommendations coming from the pharmacist. And then I do employ those with my collaborative practice agreements. And then as far as other ways I use functional medicine, they could have ordered other tests that they've shown up to review. Some of my other physicians, even just generally seeing patients in a general primary care practice, will also sometimes order those tests and then have the patient follow up with me. But I also like to try not to think of functional medicine so segmented. Oftentimes, like we already have this huge segmented healthcare system, right? We've got all these specialists and we go to, six different people to treat, one or two different things. And so I really like to integrate functional medicine into my practice. And so my background has been diabetes management. And so I have been managing diabetes for a little over a decade. And I started, doing that in residency within the VA system and then moved into a federally qualified healthcare center and then now into this private practice family medicine office that's a little bit more mix of demographics. We have more Medicare and employer-insured patients and then a little bit of managed Medicaid, whereas my previous practice was all mostly, managed Medicaid programs. But basically, through that, I've learned a lot about diabetes. I've learned a lot about pharmacotherapy for diabetes. But now when I see these diabetes patients, I'm thinking about other things. I'm not just thinking about what drugs can I put them on. I'm thinking about what is their gut like? Do they have constipation and bloating? And is that contributing to inflammation that's contributing to these blood sugars being high? How does stress impacting their diabetes? So, as a pharmacist before I found functional medicine, I was thinking about stress, basically only when the patient was really sick, like thinking that the stress was impacting their blood sugars. But now, like thinking of the chronic stress model and how that chronic stress model really influences the blood sugar regulation, how their sleep influences blood sugar regulation, looking at nutrient depletions, are they have less chromium? Do they have less zinc? Do they need support in certain areas there? Omegas, what does that look like as far as cardiovascular risk reduction? We talk a lot about omegas and ways to influence our lipid profiles to have, larger particles instead of small, dense LDLs. So there's a lot of things like in the midst of the normal conversation that I'm looking at a little bit differently than I was looking at it, 4 or 5 years ago. So I really think that all pharmacists, you know, whatever setting you're in, have the opportunity to, you know, just have like sort of this eye that just gets wider, and you cast a wider net at the patient. You look at the patient as an individual. And that's one of the biggest things with functional medicine, is that this is an N of one sitting in front of you. And they are a little bit different than the person that came in before. They might have what we call the same disease or the same symptom presentation, but how they got to that symptom presentation was different for everybody. They have different genetics, they have different internal and external factors that are affecting them, not only in their body, but their mind, their social influences, spiritually, they have different practices. And so everyone, you know, is going to be a little bit different. And so we have to take that into account. And it's a struggle, because in primary care, we often are looking at these big, huge public health things. And that's great. We need to look at it from a broad scope sometimes too. But when we really want to influence change, I believe we really have to influence change with individuals. And so that's, you know, one of the things that I love about functional medicine. And like you talked about already, the pharmacogenomics, you know, that can be an element of someone practicing with this functional medicine integrative approach, is, you know, looking at that person's uniqueness. What makes them unique? Does that affect certain nutrient absorption? Does that affect certain medications and all of those genetic components? So as far as consulting practices, and so there's a lot of pharmacists in the functional medicine space actually, you know, setting up cash fee-for-service type consulting, which is really cool. And I love the innovation that we're seeing, you know, in that area. And so I'm expanding some things with Farm to Table, and I have a pharmacist that's going to be starting to do a similar practice as well, where physicians are going to refer, and the pharmacist is going to be doing some discussions with the patients on nutrient depletions and assessing those things. But I think, you know, for the people that are already going into the nursing homes, they already have those, you know, those are the people that can really be looking for some of these nutrient related things, especially like medication adverse reaction. I mean, they're already looking for those things, but, you know, weighing the risk and benefits of some of those people being on things like statins, and, you know, looking at deprescribing, like, is there muscle aches from the statin and not, you know, the lack of whatever pain medicine they're giving them, or, you know, to overcome that. And so trying to, you know, potentially, I mean, Medicare pays for some of these nutrient depletion tests. SpectraCell is for certain parts of the panel are free for Medicare patients. And so I think nutrient depletions associated with prescription medications is probably the number one area that consulting pharmacists might be able to look at. And then maybe gut health as a secondary. I mean, gut health is really the foundation of functional medicine. And a lot of this inflammation, the immune dysregulation, and when we talk about autoimmune disease and things like that, really starts in the gut. And the imbalances and inflammation that's going on there, you know, 70% of our immune system is actually in the gut associated lymphoid tissue. So I think, you know, looking at the gut in the nursing home settings or long-term care settings would be a great place to start. Some of that at this time, you know, might have to be more empiric depending on the coverage. You know, Medicare coverage for the stool test is there, but there is like a bill that gets sent out to them. And, you know, from what I know, it's a little bit, you know, confusing to the patients as what the true cost of that is. So that might be a little bit more challenging to fully assess, but I think there are definitely elements that they can do assess, and definitely empiric recommendations that consultant pharmacists could start looking at. But most of those population, the reason the pharmacist is there is because of all the drug issues, right? All the potential polypharmacy, the side effects of the medications, to make sure the medications are renally dosed appropriately. So why not add that piece in, like what medications is this patient on that could potentially be causing nutrient depletions, and then addressing that so that we're actually looking at how to make someone well and restore, you know, what they need to have a positive vitality and not just not be sick.
Yeah, when I think of the expanding role of pharmacists, this plays right into it, Melanie. I'm excited that you've come on and kind of explained this. I think that we should team up with not only the publication, but the different facets, different settings, as the testimony that you're giving to what is functional medicine. You could bring on a specialty pharmacist that digs into oncology. You could bring in a senior care pharmacist who's talking about type 2 diabetes in seniors. We had Dr. Scott Drab on from UPMC with the AACP's pharmacy podcast focused on just that specific disease. And of course, you know that we can dig deep into diabetes and what that means and how functional medicine can impact that for better. And I see costs being affected by this. Can you kind of give your idea and testimony of what you've seen, that if you're doing things up front, you're going to save the healthcare costs in the long run.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the hard thing is that the only place that really has data here is the Cleveland Clinic. So the Cleveland Clinic has a functional medicine clinic that was started by Dr. Mark Hyman, who's a big name in the functional medicine community. And they have data looking at patient outcomes as far as like a survey of how the patients feel and also cost. And so they actually outperformed primary care using the functional medicine approach for their patients there. And so they do have a publication. I believe it was in one of the JAMA Network articles. And so I will try to find that. And if you have show notes, we can link that for folks. But the rest of us are still here practicing it because we believe that it's decreasing cost, and we just need to do a better job about researching that and actually showing that. And so I'm hopeful that I'll have some students and residents that can sort of dig into some of our outcomes. The cost is obviously one of those things that's hard to predict what would have happened to the patient had you not addressed the underlying or root cause. But if you think about, you know, even specialist visits and things like that can be costly, even if it's not something as serious as a hospital admission or, you know, another medication added or something of that nature. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when we're talking about how we fix the, I mean, a lot of people in the functional medicine community refer to our current model as the sick care system instead of the healthcare system, because ultimately, you know, how we're treating people most of the time is keeping them sick, or it is, you know, not supporting, you know, the full ability of their body to function at its peak, you know, ability. So I think that if we can move that sick care system to the healthcare system and we can, you know, try to prevent these things from occurring, we're going to be definitely saving money and, you know, reducing cost. And it's so amazing to me. I mean, like some of these tests, like I did one recently, a methylation panel with Genova Diagnostics, and then I've done the NutriEval by them on myself in the past. And, you know, looking down at like what is actually happening in your biochemistry and seeing the Krebs cycle like on a piece of paper and looking at like how your, you know, nutrients are, you know, certain nutrients are needed to, you know, move that energy cycle. And when my patients, you know, one of my patients recently, she was having a lot of fatigue, and, you know, we did that. We addressed the magnesium deficiency that we found, and like all we had to do was supplement with some magnesium, and all of a sudden she's, you know, feeling a lot better. And that probably won't have to be lifelong because, you know, she just needs to get her stores back up to where they should be. And so I think that's a cool thing about this is, you know, hopefully a lot of the supplementation is not lifelong. Now there are some people that one of their fears of functional medicine is that they're just switching from prescription drugs to, you know, supplements. And, you know, maybe in some cases we are, but in most cases those are often cheaper. And, you know, sometimes they're more of a, you know, whole food-based product or is something that we, you know, isolated nutrients and things like that, that we're trying to specifically, you know, address the patient's deficiency. So we try not to do too much supplementation, but it can be helpful.
It sounds like we're getting away from the magic pill, the consumer out there. And I don't know what way this went. Was it the healthcare industry that taught the patient to want quick fix, or was it the patients teaching the healthcare marketplace that they wanted a quick fix, which is the reason for the opioid epidemic in some ways? So functional medicine sounds like it's a longer term plan. It's not like, yeah, exactly. So if you're using potassium instead of a medication or a better diet to lower you know, the dangers of diabetes or hypertension or whatever, it sounds as if functional medicine is at the heart of all that.
Yeah. I mean, that is one of the challenges. People come in and they want something to fix this right now. You know, that's how our society is, whether we're talking fast food or whether we're talking the drive-thru at the pharmacy or, you know, whatever. But functional medicine, I mean, my journey to better health was about a year and a half, 2 years from the initial time where I figured that something was wrong and conventional medicine didn't have an answer. And so I try to, you know, make sure my patients, you know, understand that we're not going to fix this overnight. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take them doing diet modifications, them doing exercise things, them, you know, supporting their body with, you know, the proper nutrients. And we try to do that through food as much as possible. And there's, you know, some great dietitians that are starting to follow this movement as well as other type of nutritionists. So I think, you know, if we can support our bodies with the proper food and healthcare can really start pushing back on some of the big money food industry places that are supplying our society with a lot of these foods that are inflammatory, I think, you know, we'll be in a better place.
Melody, I'm excited that you came on to the Pharmacy Podcast really to share this. I think we're gonna have interest. I know we're gonna have interest in digging deeper into this, so we have to have you back. I'd like to create a series around functional medicine and have you kind of be the barometer to it all. But before we go, let's talk about reaching out to you for more information. Farm2table.life. I love that domain. I love the idea. So in closing, talk to us a little bit about what is Farm to Table.
Sure. So Farm to Table started by my own health journey. So my own health journey story is on there. And really, initially is just a blog, and right now still is just a blog and, supplement store and some things there. But I'm starting to work, like I mentioned, with another pharmacist, and we're going to start to have a team at Farm to Table that's going to be servicing patients, which I'm excited about in the next 6 months we should have all of that functionality on the website, hopefully sooner. But so out of that, I, started networking with a lot of pharmacists. There's a great group on Facebook, a shout out to the Functional Pharmacists group. Functional Medicine Pharmacist is the name of the group if you type in on Facebook. And so Lauren Castle founded the Functional Medicine Pharmacy Alliance. And essentially, right now it's just a website with some information about functional medicine, but we're working on turning that into more of a members, organization similar to a lot of our other pharmacy organizations. But right now, the Facebook group is going to be free, and there's over 1,000 pharmacists engaged already there. And so that's exciting. And through that, a lot of people kept saying, well, where do we get good CE that has these type of topics? I want to learn more. And so I kept hearing that. I was like, well, we can provide CE. Like, there's not a place I was really able to direct them to. There's great functional medicine training programs, but a lot of them don't offer pharmacist CE, or they're really expensive and people don't want to pay a lot to dive into something initially. They want to take baby steps. And so that's where I started the functionalmedicineCE.com website. It's part of my farm table business, but the website address is Functional Medicine CE or FX Med CE. Either one. FX stands for functional, and then Med CE, or you can type out the whole thing. But basically, we had our first symposium in November, and so we have that still available for purchase. It's on demand CE now, so it's under the tab shop. And then if you're interested in joining us for our next symposium, we do a live virtual symposium. So you don't need to get a hotel. You don't need to get a flight. You just need internet and your computer, or even your phone, because it's offered on Zoom webinar. So you can join us for that in February, and that's February 29th. So you got this whole extra day in your year. We can commit it to learning about functional medicine. And so registration is up for that right now. We have a great group of speakers. We're talking in through Dr. Tom Golems is a genius. He's a PhD, writes a lot of great publications on functional medicine, and he's going to be kicking it off with, talking about the inflammatory cascade and all the different ways that inflammation starts out in the body and how we influence that with nutrition and nutraceuticals. And then we're going to continue with patient cases, and a dietitian who's actually a pharmacist as well. She's a pharmacist first and then became a nutritionist, and so she's going to be talking about addressing it with diet. And then we're also going to have some conversations on medical marijuana and CBD type products with an expert there, and then finish it off at the end of the day. We're going to do a panel with pharmacists that have had functional medicine incorporated into their practice and allow our audience to really ask questions and sort of see how people are using functional medicine in their practice. So it's 7 hours of CE, and it's a great way to really dive in a little bit. And I think the first one that we did is really foundational, the discussion of the gut. So if you're new to functional medicine, check that one out first, and then join us in February so that we can continue to expand what pharmacists know. And the more we know, the more we're able to take action.
Absolutely. That sounds terrific. I want to put the show notes. I want to pack the show notes with these links. So make sure that you send them over to us. We enjoyed having you. We're inviting you back as of we know the popularity of this subject is going to generate a lot of good questions for pharmacists to engage, as well as creating new career opportunities for pharmacists out there who want more out of pharmacy than just the community environment. Nothing wrong with the community environment, but if you want more, I think that functional medicine could tie you into new opportunities.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, there's lots of opportunities in the community too to really impact those patients coming in your door.
Absolutely. Well, Melanie, we thank you for being on the Pharmacy Podcast, and we look forward to having you back.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you enjoy the leading podcast network dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy, please write us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know which channel is your favorite. And remember, the pharmacist is the hub of healthcare.